You are listening to Altar Echo, a scripture and message podcast of St. John's Lutheran Church, ELCA, of Lakeville, Minnesota. Thank you for listening, and thank you for worshiping with us. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Altar Echo Sunday podcast. I am back after a bit of a hiatus, only because this has been a bit of a busy time in the life of St. John's, and try my best, I have just not managed to get this podcast recorded for a few weeks. So I apologize for the delay, for the gap in that, in those episodes, but I'm back today and very happy to be back with the scripture and message for this coming Sunday, March 10th of 2023. So the main scripture reading for today is John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, which reads like this. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, I imagine that you have seen these billboards that are pretty prevalent, at least throughout Greater Minnesota, they are put out by an organization that I can't read in front on the very corner of the billboard as I'm looking at this picture, but the number on the billboard is 833 FOR Truth. So, in other words, if you see these billboards and you are moved by them, you can call this number and have more conversation. Although I'm not sure who would call the number based on the message of these billboards. You know the ones. They have a certain intense kind of faith message about them. One I'm looking at right now, a picture of it says, "Where are you going? Heaven or hell? Call 833-4-TRUTH. And then cites the verse John 3:36. As though you must make sure that you know where you're going and you must act right now to ensure your spot. Another one put out by the same organization has a hospital monitor line that shows that the line has gone flat. And the text reads, "After you die, you will meet God." The third and final billboard says, it has a picture of a cross on it, and it says, "Jesus, your only and only is emphasized way to God." Now, I'm not sure what you, how you react when you see these billboards, but I see them and I am just taken by the daunting undertone of these billboards. They almost all come with this invisible message of "or else" at the end of their tagline. You will meet God, or else. Do you know where you're going, or else? Kind of as though they are really coming with this message of ratcheting up the stakes of how urgent, how driven we all must be by the idea that we will meet God, and are we going to go to hell, or are we actually going to be in the small percentage of people that get to heaven? And it really strikes me that fear is the underlying goal of these billboards? That we should be afraid of going to hell, or we should be afraid of meeting God, or that we should be afraid that somehow if Jesus is the only way, then we have not gotten in on the way. The very clear message of these billboards is judgment, and it does not strike me as an invitation to believe. It's almost as if these billboards are saying, unless you adhere to our belief system, then there's no possibility that you could be saved. And if you're saved, then you go to heaven. But if you're not saved, then obviously you go to hell and you're not included in this promise of God's love, and thus you are condemned. As we read this passage today from John chapter 3, we read perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. But we have to always, when we read John 3:16, read it with John 3:17, which I want to read for you. You know 16, so I won't read that again, but listen to 17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It strikes me that a message that is about saving, about salvation, and that is specifically here not about condemnation, is used by particular Christian groups in the name of Christ that portrays a message of condemnation in the world like these billboards do. But, you know, to be fair, many Christian denominations across the board have taken a similar approach to the way that we use this message with others. Let me say that in a different way. Many Christian denominations have either implicitly or explicitly said to their people that unless you believe like us, unless you belong to our church, our denomination, unless you are part of our group, then you're not going to heaven. Then you're not saved, right? There are even jokes about certain denominational groups, and I don't even want to say which one because it advances this idea that there are certain denominational groups that will be surprised when they get to heaven and there are actually people from other churches there. My point is this. When any church, any denomination gets too focused on that we all must believe in quote unquote the right way, meaning our way, then we miss the point. And we end up doing the condemning that God was working to avoid. God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Which means that the message of the gospel and our proclamation, our enactment of faith in Jesus Christ and in the gospel can never be or else type of evangelism. We can never move forward or present the message of the gospel with a way that intimidates or creates fear. We must never use John 3:16 or any verse in the Bible as a weapon, as a threat. We must never use this or any verse in the Bible for intimidation or coercion with people. John's gospel goes on in this passage that we hear to say in verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and the people chose darkness over light, and they did not want to come into the light because then their deeds would be exposed and everyone could see that they were doing evil deeds. But at the beginning of this passage, it says, this is the judgment. In the Greek, that word judgment can be translated equally faithfully as crisis. This is the crisis. It is not that God condemns us. It is that even though Jesus has been sent into the world for us, we choose evil. Not God. We choose hatred, not God. We choose judgment, not God. we choose condemnation of our neighbors, not God. So let me be clear about this. Though God sent Jesus into the world to save the world, and as we heard in verse 17, not to condemn the world, we are the ones, imperfect, fallible, human, flawed beings that we are the ones that choose condemnation of our neighbors, of one another, and of ourselves. The crisis that we face is not that God threatens us with condemnation. The crisis we face is that we are doing a perfectly bad job of that all by ourselves when we choose evil over good, when we choose darkness over light. If we are condemning others, then it is not from God. If the church is condemning other churches, other groups of people, populations, communities, whatnot, if the church is ever condemning, then the church is not speaking the words of God. If we condemn ourselves, as in, if me, myself, and I condemn my own self, then it is not from God. Which might sound like an unusual concept or an impossible reality, but I think condemnation of one's own self can look like believing you will never be good enough, or never measure up, or believing you just don't believe the right things are well enough to possibly be saved. Condemning one's own self can look like self-sabotage, or being stuck in cycles of self-harm behaviors, or relationships, or systems that damage us, that are creating toxic realities for us. When we choose these things, or perhaps when we cannot not choose these things, we condemn our own selves. On the flip side, living in the light of salvation instead of condemnation can look like a full knowing and being known by God, living in a confident trust of a good and steady relationship with God. Now, the church has been, the church and individual Christians and others are perhaps too practiced at condemning one another for any number of really unfortunate reasons. But today, I think it would be helpful for us to also be clear about things that do not condemn you. Having doubts does not condemn you. Having questions of faith does not condemn you. Being angry at God, like really deeply angry at God, when something terrible and unthinkable happens in your life or in the world, that does not condemn you. Not going to worship enough, or not reading the Bible enough, or not praying enough does not condemn you. Switching from one denominational home to a different denominational home is not condemn you. There are so many options and possibility of things that we fear will condemn us, or perhaps that someone has told us will condemn us. None of that condemns. Because at the end of the day, the fullness of the knowledge of God's grace and beauty in John 3:16 and 17 is that though God has the power and the option to condemn us, God does not. The good news for us today in Jesus Christ is that the only being who does have the power and the capacity and the choice to choose to condemn us does not choose condemnation. The only one, God, our creator, the eternal being of all the universe, who has the power to condemn us, chooses something else instead. And we hear it in John 3:16. God chooses love instead, and life, and salvation. And so then when we remember this and we know that God is the only one with that capacity, and instead God actively every day, all the time, chooses love for you and me and all of us and the whole world, than eternal life for us is to live in love, to abide in love, and to trust in God's love so that we may know God and God may know us. So we hear the words of 1 John 4, 7 through 12 and 18 through 21, which reads this: Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us enough to send his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. His love is perfected in us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We loved because he first loves us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love a God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. I just love that passage, and it fleshes out so well for us this crisis that we are condemning ourselves and the world and each other based out of fear. We should not threaten our fellow human being with the possibility of hell. We should not threaten our fellow human being with the unlikely circumstance that God will not forgive them. We must not ever, in the name of Christ, use fear as a tool and a weapon to get others to try to believe what we believe. Because fear is not from God. Love is from God. Love is from God. I also recently saw this quote on the internet by David Huskins that spells out the misuse of this verse so well and teaches us instead how we are to live in the truth of John 3, 16 and 17. David Huskins says, if God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn it, I doubt he sent you. So friends, as we read these passages today and we remember the gift of God's saving and loving action in sending Jesus to be with us and for us, we must take an honest look at our own actions and the ways that we use our faith in relationship to our neighbors, especially those who are different from us. We must never use faith as a weapon. We must never use it to coerce or intimidate. Faith must never be something that we push on our neighbors. It must never be a source of intimidation. Perfect love casts out fear. And in faith, we can trust and rest in the beauty that we are recipients of God's perfect love in Jesus Christ, a love that holds us even when we get it wrong, a love that forgives us even when we are judgmental of our neighbor's different belief or different practice than ours, a God who loves us even when we are tempted to try to exclude our neighbor as well. Let us love one another, because love is from God. Let us follow the example of God's love in Jesus Christ, not for condemnation, for any reason, but to advance the message of free salvation found in the grace and mercy of a God who chose and still chooses daily to love us. Brokenness, flaws, imperfections, and all. Let us abide in God's love. We are held, we are free, and God offers this to the whole entire world. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, God's word is alive in us again, anew, and we get the blessing being called to let it echo through us, out into the world in which we live. Everyone, if you wish to give your offering now in support of this podcast and of the work and ministry of St. John's Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota, I invite you to go to our website at sjlcl.org. I'll repeat that for you, sjlcl.org. Up toward the top right, you will see a button that says Give. Click on Give and follow the simple instructions to give your offering. And on behalf of the whole congregation, let me say thank you for giving in support of these ministries. And now, receive a blessing from Kate Bowler from her book, The Lives We Actually Have. This is a blessing called For This Ordinary Day. Lord, here I am. How strange it is that some days feel like hurricanes, and others like glassy seas, and others like nothing much at all. Today is a cosmic shrug. My day planner says, rather conveniently, that I will not need you, cry out for you, reach for you. Ordinarily, I might not think of you at all. Except, if you don't mind, let me notice you. Show up in all the small necessities and everyday graces. God, be bread. Be water. Be laundry. Be the coffee cup in my hands and the reason to calm down in traffic. Be the gentler tone in my insistence today that people pick up after themselves for once. Be the reason I feel loved when I catch my own reflection or feel my own self-loathing fluttering in my stomach. Calm my mind. Lift my spirit. Make this dumb, ordinary day my prayer of thanks. Amen. And peace be with you, my friends.